Let's start with prayer. God, you're good, and your word is amazing. Father, would you speak to us this morning through your word, through this gospel, through what you've said? God, would we hear from you, and would our lives be changed? Would we know we've met and heard from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Would we know that we've spoken with the God of everything, the God of creation? And God, would you touch us and change us this morning? Amen. Titled my message this morning, Hanging on Love. My title came from Matthew. At the end of the passage, we're going to read it the way Matthew tells it. He says, on these two commandments hang all of the prophets and the law. That wasn't a quote. It was a paraphrase. Hanging on love. You're probably familiar with the story. Probably heard it before. But I enjoy taking passages we've heard before and looking at them again and trying to see if we missed something. Or maybe just remind us about all the things we already know. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, it says this. One of the teachers of the law came to Jesus. Came and heard them debating. Oh, I misread that. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher. It's a smart Pharisee. Well said, teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. All of the prophets and all of the law, they all hang on these two commandments. Jesus is asked a question. Everything in Scripture, you need to understand when he says all the law and all the prophets, when Matthew writes it that way, and he says that everything in Scripture hangs on these two commandments. Everything in Scripture hinges on this. It's all tied to these. One of the ways I've preached this passage before was to take Matthew and Mark and look at that and then compare that to the Ten Commandments, where the first four commandments say, love the Lord your God with all your heart. They're summed up that way. The first four are all about loving God. And the remaining six are all about loving each other, loving people, loving the neighbor. The Pharisee comes to Jesus and says, teacher, which of the commandments is the greatest? Which commandment is the greatest commandment? Because for the Pharisees, they were very concerned with which commandment was more important than the other. They were very concerned with which commandment was greater. Because if there was a greater commandment, they could focus their attention on that commandment and not have to worry about these other commandments. And they were not running through their mind at all times, this love the Lord your God commandment, because it encompasses all of them. They were trying to get from Jesus, because this is a debate they would have constantly, which one is more important. So they were saying, Jesus, which one is more important so we can get it right? There were certain things you could do, and maybe you could get away with them, but there were certain commandments you just didn't break. This is the background of the question. And Jesus he's a smart guy. And he knows the purpose of their question. And he knows even the motive that they're not aware of. He knows that they don't like him very much. He's aware of that. He doesn't like them very much either. So they get along fairly well that way, you know. He calls them brood of vipers and stuff. He begins by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He's quoting Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and verses after that. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart." Which is the most important commandment? The most important commandment is that you love God with all of yourself. Every part of your being. And he breaks it down in case you missed something. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all. And then Jesus answers a question that wasn't asked. The second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus can do that. He's allowed to just make things up like that and say, hey, the second commandment, which you didn't ask about. We'll get to that in a second. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The heart being the center of life. Love God with your life. With the fact that you are alive. Love God with your core, the very center of who you are. You got to understand that the heart, at least in their context, they got it too. They knew the heart was inside, deep inside. Love the Lord your God with the very center of who you are. Yes, this implies your spiritual life as well. Love him with your life and the fact that you're alive. Honor God with the breath that comes from your mouth. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. The soul being the seat of all feelings and desires and affections. Jesus is really getting into this. Love the Lord your God. It isn't an intellectual exercise alone. It isn't something you just do alone. He said, love the Lord your God with your soul, your affections, your desires, your feelings. It's hard to honor God with your feelings. Love him with your desires. Love him with your emotions. This is okay when we get together in a Sunday service, especially in those moments, because this is supposed to be, and we as leadership try to make it to be, a safe place for you to come and worship. So that you can come into this room, and for the most part, we shouldn't look at you too weird, if you engage with God in some sense. When we come and honor him and love him with all of our emotion, all of our desire. Scripture talks about how if you will honor and seek the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. And there's that if. If you will honor God, he'll give you the desire. But here's the way it works too. If your desire is God, and you honor and you seek him with everything you have, that promise fulfills itself. Love God with how you feel, with what motivates you. Love God. We're afraid to feel. We're afraid to feel. But love God with how you feel. Because you gather in church we get together in this room, we love God with how we feel. Some people are moved to tears. Some people are moved to laughter. They should be. This should be the way it is. We should be free to live and love God. I've been in services where, without a joke, the whole room is laughing. Somebody started it, and some of us were just laughing at their laughter because they laugh funny. But a joy comes in the room. You may or may not have experienced it, but there is sometimes that when the Spirit of God fills a room, you just laugh. And you know when those kind of moments happen, it's beautiful. It's usually when, generally before that happened, we were tense and upset. And the Spirit of God comes in and we just laugh. It would freak somebody out if you weren't aware. But at the same time, you just laugh too. You're like, oh, this is a good place to be. I don't know what we're laughing at, but it's funny. Love God with all your mind, your intellect, the things you know, your education. Love God. Give God the glory through what you know. There's a place and a beauty in knowing things. There's nothing wrong with it. I tell people it's important. I'm terrible at school, but learning is good and knowing things is good. The more we know, the more we're able. Here's the beauty of it. There's two ways to go. You can learn a whole bunch and then think you know more than God, which does happen. There are a lot of very intellectual people who are trying to tell God what's wrong with his universe. But here's the beauty of it. You can take that same amount of knowledge, because I've seen this and this is the end I try to pursue, and say, God, you're amazing, because the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything, and you begin to discover how big and great and magnificent God is. I enjoyed going through sciences in high school. I just ignore the part about evolution, and I'd look at and look at how that informed my creation that I understand. I say, okay, they just say this, but God did that. I still see it to be true and real. Yeah, that's biology. I get the biology. God did that. I would come out of some science classes in high school just excited of what God has done. I go, wow, God made mold. That's good. That's disgusting, but God did that. It was a part of his creation. He made those things. He made those bugs that nobody wants. He made those. Ugh. Why, I don't know, but he did it. They're amazing. If you care to look at them long enough to. Anyway, God did it. Honor God with your intellect. Honor God with your thoughts. This is hard. This is the hardest in my mind. No pun intended. Honor God with your thoughts. What sorts of things do you think about? Love God with your ideas. That's a cool one. Love him with your ideas. I don't ever want to stop dreaming about things. I have ridiculous ideas. I know it. I have ideas of things that just could never be. But I'll tell them to people, I don't care. Maybe God will bring it to be. You don't know that. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to stop. Someone would be like, that's never going to happen. Probably not, but it's pretty cool. And I don't want to stop, and I don't want to ever wonder, because the God I serve exceeds my ability to understand. He exceeds my understanding, my knowledge, my capacity to even imagine. He's beyond what I can reach in my own mind. So I don't dare put a cap on my dreams and my visions. I don't dare put a cap. I'll imagine whatever I want to imagine. And something in there, God's going to be like, yeah, I could make that happen. Because maybe some things are coming from him. I know that to be true. Because there are some visions I have for the churches I'm involved in. I see things growing to a place where I don't see it now. Goodness, it can't happen now. We can't get enough people together to run Kids Express on a Sunday morning. But I see it coming. I see a day when it could be there. And I know that if we had the heart behind it, if we got the volunteers behind it who were passionate, there are places we could go. Can I just share with you quickly? Sorry, I didn't put it in my notes. But can I just share with you quickly that I envision our youth group outgrowing our little youth chapel. I envision it getting to the point where we have to just meet there and socialize there, but worship in here because that's too small. I envision a time when we will have a room in here full of teenagers, full of even young adults. I envision these things. It isn't right now. But I'm not going to say when it is, and I'm not going to say it can't happen this week. I'm just going to say that it isn't right now. Based on this present and what I've seen in the past, it isn't at this moment. Tanner has that vision. Sorry, Tanner. You've told me. Sorry. Public on the spot. We need to honor God, love God with our thoughts, with our ideas. And then love the Lord your God with all your strength, with your ability. I looked at I'm just saving you the time of telling you, I looked at all these words separately, looked them up and looked at what they meant. I just skipped right to telling you, so you just had to trust me. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with your ability. Even your force. It isn't about what you can't do. Don't love the Lord your God with all the things you can't do. We're really good at knowing those things. Love the Lord your God with all the things you can do. Your ability. That is what it is to love him with your strength. Maybe you can't love him like I love him, but you can love him like you can, and you need to do that with everything you have. Maybe you can't love God by honoring him on the drums, but you can love God by singing off key over there. Maybe you can love God by handing out bulletins at the door. Because whatever it is you're doing to love him with whatever amount of ability you're presently exercising, love him with all your strength. There isn't a skill that God cannot use, that he's given you. He's put it here. The church has to grow and shape itself to accept those things. We need to get people who can make video announcements for us. We need to get people who can get passionate about lighting. We've got a couple people. God can take your skill.
Well, the church, we don't need spotlights in the church.
Maybe not. But if you've got the ability to do it, maybe we will like it when you figure it out for us. Well, hey, we do need spotlights in the church. That's good.
I don't know that would be weird.
Love God with what you can do. But here's where everything takes a twist. He says the second commandment. The second is like it. Why did Jesus bother to tell him a second? Because it's as important. There's an interesting thing that he says, what's the greatest commandment? Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it. And the guy's like, cool, we get the first two. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And when I begin to dig into this and look at the way it's written and understand what Jesus is saying, if you are loving the Lord your God with all those other things, I won't repeat them again, then you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the hard part. If you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, then you're not loving God with everything you have. It's tough. But he said, love your neighbor. Your neighbor is just your fellow man. If you look at Jesus later, is asked the very question, well, who is my neighbor? And he tells them a story. Your neighbor is just the people around you. You're sitting next to a few neighbors. Some of them you know, some of them you like. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, Jesus includes this as a close second to the greatest command. Yeah, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the most important thing. But you won't effectively do that unless you can love the people around you. And it's not too hard to wrap your head around, but just to kind of belabor this a little more, because you're so excited to be here. You can't look at those that God has created, those that God has chosen, and say, I'm not going to love you. Further to the point, you can't look at those that God has loved and assume that you won't love them. Well, God loves you, but I don't. The second commandment, it works together with the first one. Can I tell you that the church will grow? And I don't mean this church, I mean the church, big C. The church in the world will grow when we can love every person that God brings in through those doors or that back door. When we can love every person, you're going to see some pretty disgusting sinners walk through the doors of the church like you were once. And God's going to ask you to love them. You're going to see some pretty amazing people walk through the doors of the church. God's going to ask you to love them. And you need to love them exactly the same. Oh, it's hard. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, strength, all of those. And love your neighbor, whoever comes in. They should feel welcome. And we've heard that. We've heard that from people. I feel welcome in this place. Good. Good for us. Good for you, I should say. Not for us. That makes me sound arrogant. Good for you. We need that to be the case in every area. The Pharisee responds in agreement and then adds, which if it was included there, it was good for us to hear. These are more important than our religious practices. These are more important than the things we think we have to do. I'm going to say it. These are more important than coming to church every week. More important than doing all the things Christians do. These two commandments are more important than those things. But here's the part that is true as well. Again, I feel like I talk in circles sometimes. I walk in circles. Some of you nodded. Thanks, Lori. Somebody once told me that it was like they got dizzy. I was like, well, close your eyes then. Pastor Paul does it too, okay? Okay, so when we do these things, when we love God, when you love God with every ounce of your being, you'll be here. You couldn't wait. When you love God with everything, which also means, remember, that you love your neighbor, you're going to come here every Sunday morning just to see who came. And not be like, okay, you didn't show up, but to be like, hey, it's so good. I love you. See, the model of church is to be, in my mind, and maybe I'm biased, I love the family model of church. I love that when we get together, you know, there was a time in church culture where you used to say brother and sister to everybody. I grew up that way. As a kid, it was always brother and sister, whoever. Well, my mind blank. Sister Lori. There we go. I was trying to remember a name that, sorry. And when I was a little kid, we used to say uncle and auntie, too. Like, we people thought we were weird. We had a big family. And we don't do that as much anymore. But it shouldn't fade the reality of us being a family. We get together and, hey, I know you. When someone isn't here, we don't call them and be like, you weren't in church. But we call them and just with all sincerity, hey, how is life? I didn't get to ask you on Sunday. How is life? If in fact we love God with our whole being, we'll love everybody around us. And that is what will mark the church as a place to be to the world. Jamie, I'm going to invite you and your team to come back. I like the song you picked, so you better sing it. I'm just kidding. So as we wrap up here this morning, love God, love people, and recognize that the song we're singing here is I Am Free, right? We have the freedom to be here. The world is going to see something in the church when they see the church loving each other. Here's what's more beautiful. The world's going to know Jesus when they see the church loving those that aren't in the church. The world's going to know Jesus and see Jesus when they see the church loving refugees, when they see the church loving homeless people, when they see the church loving those who can't make it, loving those who are hurt, those who are wounded. You know what? The church is used, or the world is used to seeing the church love the people we like. The world is going to have something to look at. They're going to go, huh, something different now. The church loves those that I wouldn't love. And you know what? Some of those people are going to be the people you love. Hey, I love you. God loves you. Love people so that through that way you will love God, because you've already figured out that half. Love people, love God, and give it everything you got so that this world will know who Jesus is.